Okay. Hello, hello. Welcome to Moto Academy Podcast. I'm a little bit ill today. In fact, I'm a lot ill. I didn't really sleep last night. And it's yeah, I've got one of those kind of sinusy, head coldy things, which is crazy. I think I got it off AJ. I am flying solo today. So bear with me. This is a weird dynamic because usually on a podcast, I've got someone to kind of bounce ideas off of or, you know, have those moments where you can kind of sit back and let them have the floor and you can gather your thoughts. So this is kind of a whole new concept for me. So hopefully I can do this and Ethan doesn't have to do too many edits. So shout out, Ethan. I do have a few things I want to talk about, but we are on tour. You may not know that. You may know that. You now do. I'll tell you what, January has flown by. Totally flown by. It's kind of scary. A new 2025 went by super fast, and I think 2026 might be going the same way. So we are already through January. We've got 74MX this week, and then the following week we go to Motorland in Arizona. So shout out Mike. He always does a great job. There's still spots for that. So get yourself over to the website, get yourself signed up. And then we have another camp in February at Barona Oaks, California. Again, still spots. So get yourself signed up. We also have single day classes. So we are at Flight Path, New Zealand. And I'm going to butcher this name. I'm sorry. Taikaria, New Zealand. So I believe Mitchell has been to Flight Path before. So Taikaria is a new location for us. So again, spots still available for those classes. So get yourself signed up. Shout out to our New Zealand followers. Those classes are going to be great. Both those tracks look phenomenal. AJ then goes to Club Moto in California. We are then at, excuse me, B52 Hangar, Illinois. And then we go to Swampland MX in Louisiana. So some great locations. The 2026 tour is already going amazingly, so it's super exciting. We're at some great locations throughout the year, so get yourselves over to the website, check out what we've got there. Talking of website, we also have our ambassador program. So the ambassador program has gone live, so find the ambassador program page on the website, fill in the application, tell us everything about yourself. We want to get to know you, and we'd love to kind of have you on board. So check that out. We've also got seasons passes. Now those seasons passes are just killer deals, killer deals. So make sure you get signed up to a seasons pass and you've got basically so much value in that. So much value. So go to the website, check it out, get yourself signed up and we'll see you at class, I'm sure. So lots of cool locations coming up. So, like I said, I am flying solo. So, I did want to kind of bring up a topic, and it's something that I know I struggle with. Certainly, I'm better now than I used to be, but I think for me, turning up at the track when I was younger and looking around to see who was there and just kind of comparing myself to whoever was there always kind of had a detrimental effect on me as a rider, for sure. And you know, the topic I want to talk about, by the way, is comparison. So we'll get straight into it. Comparison is basically one of the fastest ways to kill momentum, you know, and almost nobody talks about it, honestly. Because, I mean, here's the truth I think most people, you know, don't talk about is most of us aren't comparing ourselves to who we were yesterday, right? We're comparing ourselves to someone else's like highlight reel. Certainly in today's society where you've got social media just been all in our faces and you can't really escape it, you know, we end up being kind of knee deep in our own doubts and while still comparing ourselves to everyone else, you know. So I see this all the time. I see it on the bike, I see it in relationships, I see it in life. You know, you scroll, you know, you watch someone faster, richer, leaner, you know, more confident. And that even realizing it, you start kind of questioning your own path. Not because you're failing necessarily, but because you're measuring yourself against someone playing a completely different game, almost, right? So, and what makes it worse is half the people you're comparing yourself to aren't doing the work that you are. They're just better at kind of showcasing or showing, you know, the outcome, right? So for me, motocross isn't just a physical sport. It's most definitely a psychological environment. I know on these podcasts, me and AJ talk about this kind of stuff, and Dave talks about it, and cameraman Cam talks about it as well. Shout out cameraman Cam. It's so good to have him back on the team. If you haven't checked out his first podcast back, check out the previous episode. It's a great episode. But we talk about how motocross is this kind of psychological environment as well, and it's all about mindset. And I know that that word comes up a lot. It comes up on the live shows during Supercross and outdoors, and people talk about mindset. And I think every rider listening to this knows what it feels like, you know, to roll onto the gate and immediately, you know, you're scanning around who's next to me, who's faster, you know, who's got better gear, who looks more confident, right? I know we've all been there. And before the gate even drops, your brain's kind of already started racing someone else's race. And it's funny because I saw that play out in A2 that happened yesterday. And I saw how Hunter Lawrence came behind, it was in the main event, the 450 main. Hunter came behind Anderson. And I saw how Hunter kind of like slotted into Anderson's race. And Anderson was riding great, but it almost looked like he was holding up Hunter because Hunter had kind of like zoned in on what Anderson was doing and riding his race. Because the way I perceived that was the second Hunter went past Anderson, he pulled away. So it was like Hunter was not necessarily comparing himself, but it's I'm using that as an analogy of like kind of when we take our focus off of what we're doing and we focus on someone else, it has a detrimental effect on what we're doing, right? So I read a quote once that comparison is like the fastest way to disconnect from yourself. And here's the thing, no one tells you early enough, in my opinion. Like comparison doesn't just mess with your confidence. It changes how your brain functions under pressure. Simple. You know, so that's kind of a bit of a sum up. So today I want to talk about like why comparison feels like almost automatic in motocross and how it kind of quietly almost hijacks your nervous system, and how to bring your focus back to where performance actually lives. And that doesn't matter what, no matter what level you're at. So motocross is a sport built on visual hierarchy, I feel. You don't just feel where you stand in a race or in a group of riders. You see it, right? Lap times, gate picks, podiums, Instagram, what people are putting out on social media, you know, clips and sponsors. You see that all that stuff playing out. So you see it's a visual thing. It's a visual hierarchy. In like small tribes, not in an environment where you're, you know, constantly exposed to like the top 1% of performers, right? Like your brain's job is not to make you confident. It's to kind of keep you alert to threats, right? So those early, as our minds developed in those early tribal days, our minds were constantly made to be alert to threat. So that's how, as humanity's evolved, that's where we've got to now, right? So in motocross, you know, other riders, they almost become like symbolic threats, like, you know, whatever that looks like, threats to status, threats to identity, almost threat to self-worth. So the problem is the brain doesn't know the difference between, you know, like a physical threat and a psychological one. So your body reacts the same way to all of it. Tension, you know, shallow breathing, for me, big one, overthinking, rushed decisions, right? So when your nervous system is in almost like a survival mode, like a fight or flight, you can't perform at your best. You can't. You know, and the fastest riders in the world are deeply present. You know, they're not quote-unquote aggressive. They're not hyped. They're totally present. And comparison, I feel, can just pull you out of that moment. You know, the second you think, oh, he's faster. He's faster through there. Or, you know, I shouldn't be getting caught by this guy. You know, you're no longer riding the track. You're riding almost your own thoughts. So where your attention goes, your performance will follow, right? It's like when you often hear as AJ and Mitchell and Ty and Alessandro and the coaches, they're all teaching eyes up, like where your eyes go, you follow, right? So it's kind of a, yeah, it's a weird thing that where your attention is, your performance follows that. So what you're focusing on, you'll go towards, right? So that's when you override. You don't only override the bike, you override like your instincts. You know, you change lines mid-race, you over-jump things that you weren't ready for. You ride someone else's rhythm. And again, looking back at Hunter and Anderson, you see that play out when you lock yourself into comparison. You know, what's going on here? What's this doing? Right? You know, you're not trusting yourself. You're reacting to others. And I think one of the most damaging thoughts that we can, you know, carry is, I should be further along than this. That's the killer, the comparison killer. I should be further along than this. And I know I've been there many times in my life where I'm like, well, I should be as good as that guy. I should be as fast as that guy. I should be achieving that. I should be that thin, or I should be in that shape, right? So you know, you often see, like, you see younger riders, for example, that they're winning, you know, they're on factory bikes or the best bikes. You look at riders with time and money and support, and your brain kind of collapses all the context. And the way you've got to look at it is, you're not behind, you're comparing different processes, different journeys, as if they started at the same time, right? So you're not behind, you're looking at someone else's pathway and you're thinking, right, I should be there, but you didn't start at the same time. You're not on the same journey. So motocross has kind of like almost like unequal starting lines. Like, you know, you've got different, we're all different. We've got different bodies. We've got different injury history. We've got different access to tracks. We've got different financial pressure, right? So we're not on the same journey. We're doing the same thing and we're pursuing the same things, but we're not on the same journey. So when you compare timelines, you almost invalidate your own progress. So the moment you discount your progress, you kind of rob yourself of any momentum. Does that make sense? And I think, like, momentum is everything in this sport. Everything. You know, so I hope I don't misquote this, but it's a bit of science, you know, why riders, you know, here it says, this is something I don't think riders talk about enough. Like, comparison increases cortisol. So cortisol is reduces fine motor control. So motocross is not like brute force necessarily. It's like balanced timing and feel. So you can't ride smoothly from like a stressed nervous system, right? So if your cortisol spiked, you're stressed, you can't ride smoothly. So that's why comparison shows up as like arm pump, rush decisions on the track, poor decisions on the track, you know, poor throttle control, mental fatigue. You know, that's where those things kind of show up. So you don't need more aggression necessarily. You need more regulation when it comes to that kind of thing. So, like, you know, being calm is a performance advantage. Like, you'll often see the camera will pan across the gate at the beginning of a supercross main, and everyone's just super calm, right? So that's where those performance advantages come in. So social media kind of for me has a big play in all this. So I don't think social media created comparison. I think it almost industrialized it. Does that make sense? So you're watching highlight reels like while living real life. You know, if somebody consistently makes you feel worse about yourself, it you know, that you need to set boundaries for yourself ultimately by, you know, coming away from social media or just learning how to better regulate yourself when it comes to comparing yourself to others. So, you know, and the thing is with, like, again, looking at social media and kind of how that plays out, when you only ever look at, and I hope you guys are following along here. I've got some notes written down and I'm hoping I'm making sense. But usually when it comes to social media, you don't see the crashes, you know, you don't see the fear, the doubt, the missed motos. You see moments, not the process. So comparing yourself to stuff on social media, and it's one of the biggest killers, I think. It's one of the biggest killers to momentum and kind of cognitive growth. So comparison kind of like thrives when, you know, context is missing. So elite riders, I don't necessarily feel they chase results. They chase execution, right? You often hear riders say, oh, I just want to hit my marks. And I felt like I had a good flow state and I just hit my marks. That's what I feel the top guys are doing. So, you know, and then I feel like when you look at a pro, that then looks like the internal metrics of what's going on there. Sounds like I was relaxed. Did I breathe? Did I ride my lines? Did I commit to my plan? You know, and then once you kind of look at it that way, you can then ask yourself, you know, did I focus on what I can control, and did I let go of the rest, right? So some of the things when it comes to stuff that's out of our control, for example, so you cannot control others. You can't control what other riders are doing. You can't control track conditions, but you can control attention. So your focus is power, right? And if it doesn't make you ride better right now, it shouldn't get your attention. You know, it doesn't deserve your attention. So, like, I think comparison fails that test every time. You know, not every thought deserves your belief, for example. You know, let it pass. When you focus on those negative thoughts, you know, let it pass, refocus, and just do you, right? And I think motocross will expose you when that doesn't mean you're broken, but it will expose those kind of weaknesses. You know, it doesn't mean you're broken. It means you're real. You're something real, right? And I think confidence is built by doing hard things while not feeling ready. Right, that's when confidence is built. I don't think you can ever feel ready to try new things and do new things, but, you know, ride your race, trust your process, and stop kind of measuring yourself against people who aren't living your life. Simple. So, you know, no one can ride your bike. No one else can build your confidence, you know, and that's where your power is. So, I hope I've not jumped about and kind of gone off on a tangent a little bit there, but I kind of had a few thoughts on that I just wanted to, you know, get down on the podcast and talk about. And I said, like I said at the start, it's difficult when you're flying solo on these podcasts and you don't have someone to bounce ideas off of. So let me know what you think. I'd love to hear your thoughts on comparison and confidence and where those things kind of come from and how those things work and how they show up in your life. I'm always intrigued and always interested to hear, you know, what other people's stories are. And I think our stories are powerful. Often when we've got something, you know, that we've experienced or we've gone through whether it be something that built our confidence or broke our confidence, we can kind of learn to tell that story and to someone else, because our stories often are powerful. And I feel like when you have a story to tell, when you have a story to share, you know, often that can be powerful. So I think we're maybe like 20 minutes in, 21 minutes in. I hope that's going to be enough for a podcast episode. Let me know what you think. Let me know how you think I got on flying solo. And we'll do it again, or we won't ever do it again. But yeah, thanks guys. What would AJ say? Toodles.